Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Anne Ball and Brian Lynn. Later, John Russell will have this week's education report. But first, the Trump administration says some American law enforcement agencies have failed to help the federal government detain undocumented immigrants. The administration has released a list of local agencies it says did not cooperate with federal immigration agents. This is the first of what the United States Department of Homeland Security says will be weekly reports. The first report is for the week from January 28th through February 3rd. President Donald Trump asked for the reports as part of an executive order on illegal immigration. Trump signed the order on January 25th, 5 days after he became president. In the first weekly report, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement said it asked local government agencies for help 3,083 times. ICE wanted them to detain people who it believes could be expelled from the country for violating immigration law. The report said local police failed to act on 206 of those requests. About two-thirds of the cases are from Travis County, Texas. Travis County includes Austin, the state capital. The county's new sheriff, Sally Hernandez, announced last month that she would not act on all federal requests to hold people in the local prison. Major Wes Pretty works for the Travis County's Sheriff Department. He said the county decided to hold only people jailed for major crimes, such as murder, sexual assault, human trafficking, or crimes against children or old people. Pretty said that Sheriff Hernandez believes people accused of a crime have a right to a trial and that victims have a right to see the people responsible brought to justice. That explanation does not satisfy Texas Governor Greg Abbott. He said what Sheriff Hernandez is doing puts the lives of our citizens at risk. The other agencies listed as turning down the largest number of detention requests are Clark County in Nevada, New York's Nassau County, and Cook County in Illinois. In a statement, ICE said a refusal to act on its request to hold prisoners hurts the agency's ability to protect the public safety. But some local government officials questioned the accuracy of the new report. Nassau County officials told the New York Times that they act on requests from ICE to hold prisoners for deportation. New York City was listed as turning down 4 requests to hold detainees at its prisons.
Environmental activists say Plans for a large dam threaten wildlife sanctuaries in Myanmar's northern Karen state. China would finance the proposed Tiatki Dam on Southeast Asia's Salween River. The Sino-Hydro Company of China and Thailand's Electricity Generating Authority are building the dam. The Salween is the longest river in Southeast Asia that does not have a major dam. Now, developers want to build 7 dams on the main part of the river. Saul Paul Tsain Thua is the executive director of the Karen Environmental and Social Action Network, or KISAN. He says the proposed dam project should be stopped. He says his group needs to study the wildlife in the area. The dam will flood the area where we have found so many species, including tigers, we really need to preserve. We need to do more research and survey to find out their status, he said. Researchers wrote about the sanctuary last month in the Oryx Journal. They studied the area over a period of 5 years. They found that many tigers, leopards, Asian black bears, and elephants live in the wildlife sanctuary area. The researchers said the Karen people need help in their effort to protect, in their words, one of Southeast Asia's last intact, rich, and diverse ecosystems. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature says at least 17 of the 31 species found in the area are threatened or in danger of disappearing. Groups including the Worldwide Fund for Nature, zoological associations from Scotland and Europe, and Australia's Wildlife Asia have supported the 5-year study. Claire Campbell is the director of Wildlife Asia. She said protecting the area from threats like development and poaching requires international help. She told VOA that threats are emerging all the time. Teams of local Karen people help guard the area, a program to protect the sanctuary against poaching led to the creation of the groups. Campbell said the anti-poaching teams want to expand the areas they protect. The government of Myanmar has reached ceasefire agreements with several ethnic armies, including the Karen one. And more developers are entering the country following government reforms and increased political calm. But the reduction in conflict has led to an increase in attacks on animals. Since 2012, Myanmar has reported an increase in yearly elephant poaching. Officials blame the increase on the demand for animal parts. Demand is especially high in China. Conservationists fear that China's growing influence in Myanmar may cause the Karen leadership to stop supporting the sanctuary. During recent ceasefire talks, a top Karen rebel visited China. He was the first such leader to do so. Sao Paul says some experts are worried that the Karen leadership may end their support for the sanctuary, especially since China is backing the dam project. VOA was unable to talk with Karen officials. In an effort to stop the government from supporting the Tiatki Dam, the Karen have launched the Karen Wildlife Conservation Initiative, or KWCI. The KWCI brings together the Karen Forestry Department, Kisan, and Wildlife Asia. The group has named an area, including the place where the dam is to be built, a Karen Cultural and Community Reserve, and Wildlife Sanctuary.
People in Norway are the happiest in the world. That finding comes from a report released this week. It shows Norwegians are happier on average than people in over 150 countries. Over 1,000 individuals were asked to rate their own happiness levels on a scale of 1 to 10. Norwegians had an average happiness rating of 7.537. That is just a little higher than people in Denmark. Danes had a rating of 7.522 in the survey. The 2017 World Happiness Report shows the 6 happiest countries are all in Northern Europe. Norway had been the 4th happiest country last year, while Denmark was rated number 1. This year, Canada is the 7th happiest, while New Zealand and Australia are in 8th and 9th place. A group of social scientists carried out the survey. Their findings were based on a simple question. They asked the subjects to imagine a ladder with 10 steps. The top of the ladder was the best possible life, and the bottom was the worst. Then the people were asked, on which step would you say you personally stand at this time? The new report said the least happy country was the Central African Republic, one of the poorest areas in the world. Syria was 152nd on the list. The Syrian civil war began over 5 years ago, and the fighting continues. While the study's question is simple, the social scientists worked hard to understand why some people feel happy and others do not. They decided 6 factors were partly responsible for one's happiness. The 6 were national wealth, life expectancy, honesty in government, freedom to make life choices, generosity, and having a strong social network. Based on those factors, people in Latin America appeared to be about half a point happier than they should be. But the opposite is true in Asia. Mike Viking directs the Happiness Research Institute in Denmark. He did not mind that Denmark lost its top ranking. I don't think Denmark has a monopoly on happiness, he said. What works in the Nordic countries is a sense of community and understanding in the common good. The United States came in 14th place, with a happiness rating of 6.993. That is 1 step lower than last year. Jeffrey Sachs of Columbia University helped write the report. He said there are a number of reasons why Americans are not as happy as before. Sachs said the country is becoming meaner. He also thinks the government is becoming more corrupt and there is less equality among U.S. residents than in the past. It's a long-term trend, and conditions are getting worse, Sachs said. I'm Ann Ball.
The United States and Great Britain, citing unspecified threats, have banned larger electronic devices on direct flights from several nations in the Middle East and North Africa. The new rules prevent passengers from carrying on personal electronic devices larger than a mobile phone. This includes laptops, tablets, electronic games, cameras, and DVD players. The barred items must be placed in checked baggage. The ban applies to direct flights to the United States from 10 airports in mainly Muslim nations. The new rules will affect about 50 flights a day to America of foreign air carriers. The list includes international airports in Jordan, Kuwait, Egypt, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. An announcement by the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, said the ban resulted from unspecified evaluated intelligence. The intelligence showed that terrorist groups are continuing to target major world airlines, according to a department statement. Terrorists are aggressively pursuing innovative methods to undertake their attacks, it added. One possible method for attackers is to smuggle explosive devices in various consumer items, the statement said. Britain also announced limits on carry-on electronic devices on direct flights from 6 countries. A spokesman for Prime Minister Theresa May said the rules would be in effect at airports in Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Tunisia, and Saudi Arabia. Passengers carrying electronics bigger than a mobile phone will have to place the devices in checked baggage. We think these steps are necessary and proportionate to allow passengers to travel safely, the British spokesman said. There was no change in policy covering electronic devices carried on flights departing from or operating within the United States. The DHS increased some security measures for international passengers coming to the U.S. in 2014. The stronger screening methods included a requirement for passengers to power up their phones and other electronic devices. DHS Secretary John Kelly has said U.S. officials are considering additional measures intended to prevent dangerous people from entering America. One proposal is for border agents to ask visitors arriving from certain countries to unlock phones and provide social media account information and passwords. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is What's Trending Today. People on social media often debate whether a piece of information, video, or photograph is real or not. If someone does not believe that something is real, they might call it fake news. This week, the main fake news Twitter debate has centered on a video of a chicken. The one-minute video shows a black and white chicken looking out of a small structure called a chicken coop. At first, it appears to be a normal bird. But then, a huge chicken foot comes out of the coop, followed by the rest of the bird. The extremely large chicken begins to flap its equally huge wings and strut around. It appeared to be one very proud bird. A man from Kosovo posted the video of his chicken to the Decorative Poultry Facebook group late last week. He wrote of the video, "Enjoy looking at Miracle," which is reportedly the name of the chicken. The video spread quickly around social media and other sites. Some on Twitter described the chicken as scary and horrifying. Some people refused to believe Miracle was a real chicken. One Twitter user wrote that the video really shows an adult in a chicken costume. Other people believed that the chicken was real, but said its huge size was the result of factory farming. In truth, the chicken in the video is a real bird, and it is not the product of factory farming. It is a heritage breed Brahma, or simply Brahma chicken. The group Livestock Conservancy recently posted information about these chickens on its Facebook page. Brahmas, it says, are often called the king of all poultry. They were developed in America in the 1800s from very large birds that came from China and India. By the early 1900s, Brahma chicken meat was hugely popular in the United States. Despite these answers, it seems, people remain terrified of the large bird. As one person tweeted, "Was about to fall asleep, but just remembered I live on the same planet as that huge chicken." And that's what's trending today.
Anyone studying a foreign language knows the importance of memorizing words and expressions in that language. The more you can remember, the bigger your vocabulary. Experts say English learners need to develop a large vocabulary to be successful on language tests and at English-speaking universities. This information comes from Alicia Byler and Ray Knight. They teach at the English Programs for Internationals at the University of South Carolina. In this education report, we investigate why English learners need to develop a large vocabulary set. We will also tell you about ideas that teachers and scientists have for learners interested in expanding their understanding of words and expressions. If you are like many people, you have probably faced a situation like this one in the VOA Learning English series, Let's Learn English.
They are playing a game. It's a kind of handball. What do they call it?
In the video, Ana Mateo has a hard time remembering a word. Perhaps Ana has not heard the word enough times. Perhaps she has not thought about it in a very long time. Whatever the case, the point is this. It can be difficult to remember and use vocabulary words. Ray Knight and Alicia Beiler report that one of the most common problems English learners face is remembering and using vocabulary words. Beiler says a student's success on proficiency tests and at an English language university is related to the student's vocabulary.
That English has a wide vocabulary language. So unlike other languages that use more grammar or more word endings to express different meanings, English uses vocabulary to do that job. You know, I think the suggested range for reading a newspaper is around 5,000 words. But for students who want to be successful academically, let's say at a university level, they'd need to know somewhere around 10,000 words.
Beiler adds that English learners need to see or hear a word about 10 times before they feel at ease with the word and start using it. If you need to learn a lot of unfamiliar words, and you have to remember those words, what can you do? How can you get vocabulary into your long-term memory? Mary Pick is a cognitive scientist. She studies human learning. Pick says one helpful method for long-term learning is to test yourself. The easiest way to do this, she explains, is to create your own flashcards. Each card is no bigger than your hand. The word in English can appear on one side of the card. The meaning in your native language can appear on the back. By repeatedly using flashcards and slowly building up the number of cards, you can remember more words. Regular testing will also help you learn which words are difficult for you. The important point, Pick says, is that you should not try cramming unfamiliar words if you want to have long-term learning. Cramming is a common method for studying. People try to memorize a lot of information in a hurry before a big test. This strategy can help students on some exams. But, Pick notes, the caveat is that the day later you're not going to remember any of that information. She had other suggestions about how to improve the learning process, which we will discuss in future education stories. Ray Knight says there are several websites that can help with testing. He suggests that sites such as Quizlet, Memrise, and English Central can be useful for English learners. Alicia Beiler adds that English learners can be helped by taking free language tests, such as Nation's Vocabulary Test. While Nation's test does not give you definitive answers about your English abilities, it can help show you where you need to improve, she says. Building a large vocabulary and getting all that information into long-term memory are not easy tasks. However, with effort, a little sacrifice, and training, you can increase the number of vocabulary words that you know. In future education tip stories, we will explore other effective ways to practice. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.